A billion years ago, there was nothing but space. Then one of God's wet farts blew all the planets in place. There were no signs of life on Mars or Venus, but planet Earth was blessed with two baby geniuses. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
Hello, babies. Welcome to Baby Geniuses. I'm Emily.
I'm Lisa.
Thanks so much for listening to our show and for doing you.
You do you. We do we.
What a great show we have for you today. We wanted to talk about a couple things up top, first of all. I mean, one thing that's interesting is this is going to come out so long after we record it.
Yeah.
And so what we're about to talk about is so not relevant.
What is it?
You,
what are we going to talk about?
Ben Affleck's nanny? Did you want to talk about that?
Oh, just in passing, I just really like her at this moment in time.
Really?
And when I'm stressed out at work, I just Google her and see all the latest pics.
I have been completely off the internet because of my job.
Just a real quick rundown. He fucked a nanny and she refuses to like go away and be quiet. She's just out in full hair and makeup every day and calls the paparazzi and has them take pics of her coming out of her house and like lounging by the pool. She's wearing tons of jewelry. She's wearing her sunnies. She bought a new Lexus drop top.
I love this
and
woman.
And Instagrammed it. I love her because she won't just sort of quietly go away. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
Like, typically the mistress just disappears. She takes the hush money. She's been staying at like the Hotel Bel Air, which costs like $10,000 a day or whatever. Are we good?
That's crazy.
Okay. Yeah. You're shaking your head. Like, am I cutting out? Or are you just amazed? Her name is Christine Utsonian. And I just want her to stick around forever and become the new Angeline and just be a part of LA's landscape.
Oh, man. LA is really a fertile breeding ground for these kinds of people.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say, hypothetically, mm-hmm. you had an affair with a famous movie star.
Uh-huh.
And you were outed as your identity and you had like $1 million to do whatever you wanted with.
Yeah.
What would you do?
I mean, I want to, you know, I probably would just be quiet and be embarrassed, but if I went her route, yeah, I would get the Porsche and drive around.
Yeah.
With my hair done.
I'd
the bag, you know. That's great. She's
you'd
just
get
like
fancy bags.
Yeah.
I feel like I would
I wouldn't really, but
I would try and present myself like the most charitable human being in the world.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's what Jennifer Garner is doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's just like, I'm all American mom.
Yeah.
I'm so good to my kids. Like, she's coming across very well in this divorce.
I feel like the women who are cheated on usually do.
Yeah.
But maybe
she also
that's
comes
just
across
me.
As very forgiving because she's still like hanging out with Ben Affleck and they're doing it for the kids and like,
man.
I started reading this new gossip blog that that Jillian Tamaki, previous guest of the show, sent me called Lainey Gossip. It's like run by this woman from Canada and it's incredible.
I like a Canadian spin on American celebrities.
I fucking love it. And it's really smart and kind of makes you feel like you're reading something smart even though you just want gossip.
Even though you're just reading about Ben Affleck's mistress.
Yeah, it's great. She has a really fun spin on the whole thing.
I feel
she's
like,
very like, yeah, I love it.
She's very what?
She's skeptical of any time there's like a photo of a celebrity. She's like, this was planned. Like, notice how Jennifer Aniston is never photographed. But then when she was with this guy, she let herself be photographed. Like,
oh.
She notices patterns and she talks about them in a way where you're like, oh, yeah. Like, and she doesn't trust anything Taylor Swift says. And that's really fun.
I wonder how our culture would change if it was like illegal to be a paparazzi.
Yeah.
Because it's such a weird, like, legal loophole that people can just take, like, long-distance range photos of.
Yeah.
Like, if we made it illegal to trade those, like, it's illegal to trade ivory.
Yeah.
Like, what?
It's weird that it's a symbiotic thing and that celebrities use the paparazzi and have it be very, you know, it's very structured. Christine Utsonian, the nanny, she had her friend bring out fresh fruits to the paparazzi that were from like her parents' yard. Like,
oh my god,
she loves them. Like they're,
I would.
She's
use...
feeding off them. She wants to be on Dancing with the Stars too.
Oh my god!
And now both Ben and Jen are like trying to keep her hushed. Like,
oh wow,
she's trying to blackmail them allegedly. I don't know.
That's so interesting. Okay, I would. Okay, I've thought a little bit more about this, and I've decided more about who my character will be am a celebrity mistress.
Yes, please.
Different color wig every day.
Oh God, yes.
Yeah, crazy color page boy wig every day.
Page boy,
and no one will see my real hair.
Yeah,
ever.
Oh.
And so I'll be like this sort of a cartoon character.
Are you wearing like dark sunglasses, like shades? Are you like a mysterious?
That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. I yeah. Like makes it a little bit more cartoony. Yeah. Yeah. Rollerblades. A monocle?
I just said what about a monocle? Sorry, yeah. I'm not meant to be on the show yet.
A monocle sunglass? Like Ooh, a sunglass
yeah, a
monocle?
A dark monocle.
Yeah.
Tinted, are there tinted monocles?
Two tinted monocles, not connected via sunglass, that I wear underneath my normal glasses.
And like a top hat that connects to your wig.
Oh. This is getting good.
I love the rollerblades.
The rollerblades and maybe like a bodysuit.
That's essential.
A bodysuit with like hard pieces in it, like a cod piece and boob pieces.
And like a tail.
Yeah. And then everyone would be like, why did Matt Damon sleep with this woman?
Oh my God, Matt Damon. He's so faithful.
He will never do it.
Oh.
It's really interesting that he and Ben Affleck are a pair.
Oh yeah. And when Matt Damon's asked about it, he's always just like, oh, well, marriage is hard. I love my marriage. I'm so grateful. It's all good luck.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Like, oh, brother.
That's so interesting.
He's the good one and Ben's the idiot.
I think it's interesting the way that like we talk about like in creative collaborations, like sometimes if there's four people, everyone is one of the Beatles.
Yeah.
You know,
which Beatles are we?
Well, but there's only two of us.
I know.
Which Beatle do you
well,
think you are?
Well, are we
George? I think I'm a Paul.
Oh, really? I thought I was a Paul and you were, what
really?
Are you?
I'm a Paul for sure.
Really? I think we're two Pauls and I think really? That's why this works.
Yeah, God, if Paul McCartney could just have another Paul. Well, like, Paul McCartney was the one who was like uptight about like plans and stuff.
Yeah.
And so maybe we are two Pauls. And then John was the what like the creative genius who was an asshole.
Yeah.
And George was like the nice one who didn't just wanted
George,
everything to be peaceful.
George was a little passive aggressive.
Yes, he was.
He was the young one too.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was the baby.
Okay.
So they kind of didn't respect him. And then when he started to get really good, they were just like, yeah, yeah, whatever, baby.
He's like, I'm not a baby.
Yeah.
Here comes the sun. And then Ringo's like the funny one.
He's like the one who's above it all because he's older than them and he joined later.
No yeah. one respected Ringo. Sorry.
Is that true? No one respected
yeah,
Ringo?
Like, oh. He came in at the last minute just because they needed a drummer. They're like, we don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was just like this drummer guy who would just drum for anyone.
And he's going to show them by being the last one alive.
And they gave yeah, him totally. Octopus's Garden. They're like, here's your song.
Well, he was not a great musician
yeah,
at all. He was the best actor out of all of them by far.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he was just the most mature. So I think...
My dad used to say that... people only liked Ringo songs because you would listen to it and think, I could sing better than that.
That is definitely true.
I don't...
I like this Ringo hate.
Act Naturally? Oh, man.
Act Naturally.
Just butchered that song.
Yeah. Okay. We should... move on and talk about what happened to your car.
Oh, God. This is just...
This is part of our Justice Corner
Street
segment.
Justice chat.
Street Justice
We're
chat.
We're big on street justice. Well, someone just hit and run my car, and they just wrecked it. They wrecked the front fender, and it's not a big deal. It's like, that just happens in L.A., but I'm
but
so mad.
Sucks. No, yeah. I mean, you like your car more than anyone else I know.
I do like my car. I got it used. I picked it very carefully. It's just annoying. I wish I could just talk to them face to face and be like, hey, you like raised my insurance rates. You put me out. Like, I didn't have a car for an entire week. I had to take it to a body
shop. It
raised
your insurance rates?
Of course. Because
they don't believe you?
No, they believe me. It's just if your car gets damaged above $1,000 and the insurance company has to pay for it, your rates go up no matter what, whether it was your fault or not.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. I had to pay a huge deductible. It was just like, and I had to, so yeah. But I mean... someone could have gotten hurt and they didn't. So, you know, it's not the worst thing that could have happened, but
I don't care. I think it's the worst thing that ever happened.
I just want them to know that they were a pain in the ass to me. I want some sort of justice.
But I'm really sorry, but it was me.
Oh, I'm so mad.
So sorry.
I'm so mad. It was fun though, taking Ubers for a whole week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I realized.
Just getting drunk as fuck anywhere you went?
Actually, no. Oh. I just took them to work and back, so I wasn't drinking.
So you were just on your phone?
Yeah, but yeah. I enjoy a small degree of small chat. I think it's fun.
Oh, really? What do you talk about with your... So I had a very chatty Lyft driver last night, and I was like, I guess I'm just going to lean into this and just tell her all about my life. Yeah. But I wasn't comfortable with it.
Some of them I like reveal a lot. I'm like, yeah, I work on the show or whatever. And they're like, oh, I heard of that. And some of them I don't say anything. But like one guy was like, oh, who's your favorite actor? Do you have any celebrity gossip? And then he was like, my favorite actor is Al Pacino or Robert De Niro. I can't pick which one. He was such a guy. I loved it.
Oh, that's He's so like, funny.
I think they're the best actors in the world.
I love it. That I
love it so much. I was like, well, you know, I like Meryl Streep. They're like, oh yeah, Meryl Streep's good too.
My favorite thing is if I do tell people I'm a comedian, very often the response, and this is like, and I just say very often meaning like it's happened 5 times versus 1 time for every other answer, is they'll be like, oh, I love comedy, my favorite comedian is Joe Rogan. And I'm like, we should stop talking now.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's fine, but I don't think you care about what I'm gonna say next.
This guy, I told him I worked on BoJack, which I don't always like to say because it gives me this greasy like I'm bragging feeling. But
yeah,
then,
and then
he was
don't know what it is, they act like you're pathetic for explaining it.
Yeah, but then he was like, oh, do you like Family Guy? You know, that's my favorite show. And I was like, well,
yeah. And then it's like, I don't want to make small talk about the thing you like that I don't like.
Yeah, we're talking about me.
Yeah. It's time now for Chunch Chat, the weekly segment where we talk about Martha Stewart's pony Ben Chunch.
Chunch. When the clock strikes noon, we could have a picnic lunch, fine wine, full moon, and we're chatting about Chunch.
Ben Chunch.
So I don't have any Ben Chunch news this week, but Martha did ride her horse Rins around, and she wrote, I wish I were Lady Godiva on her Instagram, which I thought was really charming.
Who is Lady Godiva?
Is that lady who was naked and she rode a horse a lot?
Oh, okay.
That's all I know.
I feel like Martha Stewart could make that happen.
I know. I think that would be beautiful. Yeah. And then she finally named her new Chow Chow puppy. She did not name her Pup Chunch. Missed opportunity. She again let her granddaughter name the dog, but this time she picked a more normal name. She picked Peluche.
Peluche.
Yeah.
How is that more normal than Ben Chunch?
It's like Spanish for fluffy, so there is like a thought behind it, but I think it's very cute. And if you look on her blog, there's lots of pictures of this puppy, and it's the cutest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Oh, I want to see that.
It's so fluffy.
Still though, as previously established, the appropriate name for a Chow Chow is Chi Chi.
Yeah.
Very cool.
According to the King of Dudes.
Yeah. That concludes Chunch Chat. Can't wait till we eventually find out if it's what the deal is with her spelling it Ban Chunch.
I know. I want to figure this out.
It's time now for One on Fun.
You know what? One on Fun.
Lisa.
Yes.
If you could break any world record, what would it be?
And it could be anything. Like it could be beyond my actual abilities.
Yes.
I would like to break the record for how fast someone has ridden across the United States on horseback.
That would be good.
I think that'd be awesome. I would love to be an endurance rider, but I just don't have the physical ability or skill. I don't have, what's that word? What's the word for that? I don't have that.
Okay.
I just want to ask you the same question back, even though it's cheating. It's such a good question.
It is cheating. Thank you. And I just thought of it.
What's an athletic ability you wish you had?
Just any athletic ability. Just a little bit of any kind. I wish I had the athletic ability to do athletics and to I think I'm gonna join a gym soon because I am getting winded very easily.
I got close to joining a gym and then I remembered how much I hate gyms and then I just downloaded a bunch of like P90X videos.
And have you done them?
Yeah,
really?
They're fun. I'm doing the ones that are only 30 minutes long.
Okay.
Because that's
good.
Yeah.
That's more than I want to do.
I'm not going to do an hour.
Yeah.
So yeah, sometimes I just do half of them. I do 15 minutes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're P90-ish?
I mean, my sternum is very sore and it might be related to that.
Oh,
I'm not
okay.
sure. There's a lot of, I mean, it's terrible. There is a lot of burpees, which is disgusting, a disgusting name for a disgusting move. And
what's a burpee?
Oh, you're doing like a push up and then you have to get up and raise your hands.
That's horrible.
And then there's a lot of planking. You know what planking is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I hate planking.
Oh, it's awful.
Every time I see those pictures of like old-timey like 1950s women in these weird exercise-ator machines, mm-hmm. I'm like, I get it. I get why you would want to just step into a machine and have it exercise you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
that worked, I would do it in a second.
That concludes One on Fun. We'll be right back with Wiki of the Week. Baby geniuses.
Hi, everybody. I'm Justin McElroy.
And I'm Dr. Sydney McElroy.
Every Tuesday, we bring you Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine, a show about all the dumb, weird, terrible ways that we've tried to fix each other over the years. You know, some light summer listening.
Maybe you want to hear about yogurt enemas, or why we tried to eat mummies for a while, or why drinking cholera diarrhea sounded like a good idea.
That and so much more is waiting for you every Tuesday right here on the Maximum Fun Network with Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine.
Welcome to Wiki of the Week. Let's introduce our guest this week. She's a very funny comedian who you will love if you don't already. Please welcome Claudia O'Doherty.
Thank you.
Yay. Hello.
Thank you for joining us. Good afternoon.
I wanted to compliment your nail color because it's gorgeous right now.
Thank you so much. For the listeners at home, I would say it looks like a space mermaid color.
Yeah.
It's kind of a blue-green holographic glitter.
Would you say the name was Black Prominence?
It's called Black Prominence.
That's great. The nail polish color name is very important to me.
Yeah. I said it maybe 100 times while I was getting it done to my friend. I was like, this is actually called Black Prominence. And it is a strong choice. It doesn't match many outfits.
No.
It doesn't matter.
And my grandmother was appalled.
Oh, yeah. I love how older women don't understand colors other than red on your fingernails.
No, that's true.
She didn't like it. She didn't like how short my nails are, which is just
oh, you got to have short nails.
Yeah, otherwise it looks spooky.
Yeah. I hate long nails. Ugh.
I love long nails for ASMR purposes.
Oh, are you an ASMR person?
I am,
If I talk like this.
I actually prefer soft speaking to whispering.
Well, do you know what I've actually realized, which kind of sounds like ASMR, which I find really fun, that I've really discovered recently, is talking like a snake.
Wait, could you please do that right now?
Essentially, it's just what Ralph Fiennes was doing in the Harry Potter movie when he played the basilisk. But it turns out his performance was very easy. So all you have to do is you just have to whisper everything and really emphasize S's and try to sound sneaky. So if like a normal, so be like, hello, Emily. And you say, quite a lot. And it's, if you actually just give it a try, you're going to really enjoy it.
Okay.
Hello, Lisa. But you've got to keep it really soft. And you got to. But we should put some more S sounds into what you're saying. Okay. So, like, maybe.
Sibilance. Have a sip of iced coffee.
Isn't it fun?
I like
it's
yeah.
It's like not fun for people to listen to.
So we should definitely do it on the podcast for a lot
really
longer.
All right, the rest of the podcast is going to be done like this.
Everyone should do it. It's just hard speaking that slowly, I think.
I didn't realize that Ralph Fiennes also did the voice of the basilisk.
I assume he did because he is,
Voldemort.
Yeah. I'm not afraid to say it.
If Ralph Fiennes was here and he snake talked in my ear, my pussy would explode.
Do you like him?
Yes.
He would definitely have sex with you. From the stories I've heard, he's like, you know, like not that it would be a treat to have sex with you, but like he seems very open to everyone.
Older women.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Right. I just thought he was open to every woman.
Oh.
That's why I was
That's exciting news.
You should go for it. It'll happen.
Let me just ask my boyfriend.
So I was thinking we should make one of those celebrity exemption lists.
You should ask him in the snake voice.
Yeah. Then, I want to have sex with my friends.
I do think you're speaking too quickly.
I know. It's because I'm nervous about how bored the listeners are.
We should get to this week's Wikipedia page, which was sent to us by Amanda Luke, who also sent us a very nice picture of her butt. I don't know if we were supposed to say that or not, but there's could be a million people named that.
Yeah. You said her first and last
yeah.
name.
Beep out the last name? I don't know.
Whatever. They can't see the butt.
Can I see it?
Yeah, you can see it.
They're pretty good. It's nice underwear.
Yeah, and it's a nice butt.
It's a great butt.
It's a really good butt.
Is that like a thing that you guys ask for?
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Well, then that's fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She isn't just like a crazy person. Why? We've been asking for this. And we've been asked and answered, honestly. We've been getting a lot of really good ones. Because we were asking for dick pics for a while, and then we realized that was exclusive.
Yeah, like everyone can have a butt.
And now we're still exclusive, but of a different...
Yeah, now we don't want men to send us anything.
Yeah. I mean, you can email us, but don't send us a picture.
So this is the Wikipedia page for urine therapy.
No, urine therapy.
The therapist's name is first. So... Urine therapy, in alternative medicine, the term urine therapy or urotherapy refers to various applications of human urine for medicinal or cosmetic purposes, including drinking of one's own urine and massaging one's skin or gums with one's own urine.
Oh. Just rub it into your gums.
So I'm currently barfing. Though urine has been used for diagnostic and therapeutic purposes in several traditional systems and mentioned in some medical texts, autourine therapy as a system of alternative medicine was invented and popularized by British naturopath John W. Armstrong in early 20th century. So this is pretty recent. He was inspired by his family's practice of using urine to treat minor stings and toothaches by a metaphorical reading of the biblical proverb, "Drink water from your own cistern," and his own experience with ill health that he treated with a 45-day fast on nothing but urine and tap water.
Blech! Whoa. But, 45 days. If he's just drinking tap water and urine... It's going to be...
That's true.
I didn't
it's
know,
just water.
I imagine it's just water after a while,
right? Yeah. This is basically Water World that he's living in.
Starting in 1918.
I feel like he must have cheated. Like, that can't be enough, because then that is just water.
Yeah.
Can you live that long
you
without eating?
You can't live that long just having water.
Maybe days were shorter back then.
He's a liar.
I feel like he's probably a liar. No one verified this. Did you ever hear about that guy who like started a cult where it was like you're supposed to just photosynthesize and it turns out the cult leader was sneaking off to... Yeah, breatharianism.
Yeah.
He was sneaking off and eating sandwiches and stuff.
And burgers. He went to Burger King.
Guys, you can only eat air and sandwiches. That's it.
Starting in 1918, Armstrong prescribed urine therapy regimens that he devised to many thousands of patients. And in 1944, he published The Water of Life, a treatise on urine therapy, which became a founding document of the field.
His book sold widely and in India inspired the writing of Manav Mutra by Gandhian social reformer. I'm not going to try and pronounce this name. I'm sorry. Rajibai.
His last name is Patel.
Patel. And many later works.
But what does the urine do to your skin?
That part is not so clear. Well, okay, we can go down to modern claims and findings.
Great.
Urine is a byproduct of the body secreted by the kidney.
Uh-huh.
And cellular metabolism generates numerous byproducts that require clearance from the bloodstream. Blah, 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 stuff I don't understand. There is no scientific evidence of a therapeutic use for untreated urine.
Great.
Urinating on jellyfish stings is a common folk remedy. However, Scientific American reports that it may be counterproductive as it can activate nematocysts remaining at the site of the sting, making the pain worse.
Oh, no.
My brother peed on my mom's jellyfish sting when we were in Italy.
Did it work?
No, it didn't help.
Oh,
yeah.
What a horrifying incident.
Yeah. Yeah, every part of it was really bad.
That's terrible. I remember reading that Madonna would... urinate on her feet in the shower to deal with athlete's foot.
Is that in this? Yeah, it's at the bottom of the article when it says public figures who do it.
Yeah. Let's just jump to that section. Oh, urine and urea have been claimed by some practitioners to have an anti-cancer effect. And great. Urotherapy has been offered along with other forms of alternative therapy in some cancer clinics in Mexico. According to the American Cancer Society, available scientific evidence does not support claims that urine or urea given in any form is helpful for cancer
patients.
Sometimes
I think one of the worst things about having cancer would be all the things people tell you to do to not have cancer anymore.
Everyone would be like, rub this Tabasco on your back.
Yeah. It worked for my friend.
That was but then you would probably also be like, okay, I'll do it.
I'll do it, because
yeah,
why not?
What else am I going to do? That was one of the things that Jesse Case talks about on his podcast, Jesse versus Cancer, is he's like, just please stop with your friend who ate nothing but plums.
Right.
And then their tumor shrank. That's not a thing.
It's all confirmation bias.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay, public figures. In 1978, the Prime Minister of India, Morarji Desai, a longtime practitioner of urine therapy, spoke to Dan Rather on 60 Minutes about urine therapy. Desai stated that urine therapy was the perfect medical solution for the millions of Indians who cannot afford medical treatment. What a terrible prime minister.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's rough.
That's horrible. It's like, literally, you can have your piss and that's all I'll give you.
Like, it's cool
you can have
that
your piss
we have
and drink it too.
A terrible medical system. Just, you got the free piss. It's great.
Yeah.
Chill out, guys.
Oh, man. British actress Sarah Miles has drunk her own urine for over 30 years in claiming the belief that it immunizes against allergies, amongst other health benefits.
Wow.
What is Sarah Miles from? I don't know her.
I mean, that's a really good question. I'm going to click on her Wikipedia page.
She was in a bunch of movies from the 60s and 70s.
Yeah. In The Servant, Blow Up, Ryan's Daughter, and Hope and Glory.
And she started drinking her own pee. People stopped giving her roles.
Yeah. They were like, she's not fun to work with.
Terrible. Yeah.
Piss breath.
Yeah. No one wants to do love scenes with her anymore. I mean, that would be like a real thing. Like, if it gets out that you drink your own piss, like, no one's going to want to kiss you.
No, I don't think so.
Although, to be fair, I did have an ex-boyfriend who drank his own pee.
Really?
Really?
Yes.
This is such a bombshell in the middle of the story.
Yeah. I wasn't sure when to bring this up. Is this? But
wow. This is the exact right moment.
Thank you. My ex-boyfriend in college drank his own pee a couple times because he believed in like all kinds of alternative medicine stuff.
Oh,
and
no.
He said that it was enjoyable.
What?
Because you are drinking something that's the exact temperature of your body, so that it almost feels like you're drinking nothing. And it's like, you know what else is like drinking nothing? Not drinking pee.
Oh my God. But that's
or just room temperature water.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. So he was drinking it fresh out of the body.
Yeah, just totally hot, piping hot.
I'm assuming.
Piping hot cup
Did
of pee.
Did he alter his diet in the lead up to the drinking?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
Did he drink alcohol or take drugs?
In general?
Yes.
Yes.
So, like, that's going to be pretty gross piss.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there's not piss that's less gross, I don't think. I guess
think
baby
there
pee.
Is. Like, if someone's, like, really sick. baby piss would be less gross.
Yeah.
And I think sick people or old people or, you know, like, when is it really gross? When you're sick or...
Yeah, I guess I'm just going to go...
Dehydrated.
That's if you've been eating asparagus. That's real gross.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be very terrible.
I'm just going to go out and say I don't want to drink any of it. Like, any
But you did kiss him after that.
Yeah, I did. And had that not stopped me, and it was fine. I think it had left his mouth.
Did he brush his teeth? So he was like, you kissed your piss.
I don't think I kissed him the same day. It was like a thing he had done like before we got together.
Oh, right.
But then he really wanted me to do it, but I wouldn't do it.
He wanted you to drink your own piss or his piss?
My own piss.
Okay.
Yeah. And I did not do it.
How long did you go out for?
Like almost 3 years.
Right. And when, because I imagine you really liked him at this stage when he was like telling you about it, were you like, cool?
No, I don't think I did that. Mm-hmm. I think I was like, gross. And I will never drink my own piss.
Right.
But I asked him about it. I wasn't like, don't tell me about this. I was like, tell me about this. But also, no.
Not going to happen.
Yeah. He was just like a generally a more experimental person. I do think I was like, oh, he's like so different than me. Like he does so many more, you know, like.
I love how he challenges me.
Yeah. You know how you like talk yourself into thinking everyone is perfect for you, regardless of like if he had the opposite quality, I would explain.
No, I like never have. Anyway.
What?
I was like, I never go out with people, so I don't think, like, I have, and I yeah. do, I'm kind of, it's fine. Anyway, but,
oh, I mean, yeah, I don't go out with people either, and that's why when they come along, I'm like, yeah. okay, this is perfect
this
for these
reasons. This
is good,
this is exactly what I wanted, yeah. A piss drinker. Yeah. Because that's actually a very interesting quality. I love that. What an exotic man. Can I ask, does he have a job now?
He does. Yeah.
Can I ask what it is?
It took a while. He's a
president of the United States.
He is a senator. He's an actor, and he's performing in like a touring show that's actually in Australia right now.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So he's, you know,
I want to know what the show is.
I'll tell you off the air, because I don't want people to like Google him and be like, he's a piss drinker. Yeah. No
oh my
one
God.
Hire him.
Matilda just came to Australia. I wonder if it's Matilda.
It's not Matilda. He plays Matilda. But yeah. Anyway, former Major League Baseball player Moises Alou urinates.
He was a baseball player.
No, this urinates on his hands to alleviate calluses, which he claims allows him to bat without using batting gloves.
Whoa! Oh, so like hardens your.
Or I guess it.
Oh no! It softens
them probably. Great. But also, gloves are not that expensive.
Mm.
Just so maybe use like that. A hand cream.
Who uses batting gloves? You'd have to be such a baby.
Do you use batting gloves?
Yeah. Or
like
does everyone do that?
Use batting gloves.
I don't know. I've never played baseball. Oh.
I think if you're
in those catching mitts, that I get.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think the bats.
I think in Major League. Yeah. I think in the Major Leagues, they wear those gloves that are like fingerless and they have like holes on the back of them. But it's just for, yeah, holding the bat because you hold it really tight and you... otherwise, you get calluses, I guess.
I just don't remember anyone wearing gloves in a league of their own, which is where all my baseball knowledge is from.
That's valid.
That was baseball, fair. Right?
That was
baseball. Oh, my God. Imagine if it wasn't.
No, it was. I think it might have been softball, though.
Right.
Yeah. But you're right to reference that movie, because I do think that's what most of our listeners are probably thinking of, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a really good movie.
What a good movie.
Yeah. I also... what was the movie that I just... Oh, I just rewatched Muriel's Wedding, which I think you and I were talking about.
My favorite movie.
It's so good.
Isn't it the best movie you've ever seen?
I remember seeing it when I was in college and then not seeing it again until recently, and it holds up. Have you seen it, Lisa?
I've never seen it.
It's like a perfect movie.
That's like a real...
It's like a perfect movie.
Yeah. You should do it this afternoon. You should watch it this afternoon.
I think you should.
Yeah.
Okay. You'll love it.
You'll love it. The costumes are amazing.
Costumes, all of the performances are amazing.
Yeah.
The script is amazing. What I like is it's so incident heavy. So much stuff happens. Mm. And yeah. I feel like in movies, very little stuff happens these days. It's like there's the one main thing.
Yeah.
And then it's just about like the vibe.
Yeah.
Where like there's a ton of stuff happens. It's amazing.
Commented on that where like every scene, three different things happen in like three different stories in it, and it feels like it's about one thing, but it's not. It's like there's all this stuff. Oh God, it's
and
really
it is,
good.
It is hilarious and truly heartbreaking.
Yes,
yeah.
Everyone, go see Muriel's Wedding, and don't pee on yourself.
It's also the 20th anniversary of Muriel's Wedding, so you could have. That doesn't make a difference. You could be like, you know, seeing it in honor of that.
That's true.
Instead of just a podcast recommendation, which is also really
also
good.
Also really good. Yeah, but also 20 years passing is really good, too. what else? Boxer Juan Manuel Marquez drank his own urine during a film training session for the HBO series 24/7, promoting the Marquez-Mayweather fight. He revealed that he believed the practice was of great nutritional benefit, aiding his intensive workouts. Did he win or lose that fight? This is the real question. We won't find out.
He died.
There's no way to know.
During a fight.
But that is like, okay, that's one legitimate use, is like if you're a boxer and you have a highly publicized training period, if your opponent sees you drink your own piss,
that might spook him.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's one very specific and good reason to drink it.
Yes. And if I was a mistress of a celebrity...
Oh yeah, that
I
could,
would.
That's
come
your
out,
trademark.
I would be like, I drank my piss all the time. I wouldn't actually do it, but I would just tell people that
the
I did.
Old piss drinker.
Yeah,
that'll be what people call you.
Yeah,
that's
and then it'll taint the celebrity and whoever he cheated on. with me.
Yeah. Have you seen that video of Jennifer Garner falling in love with Ben Affleck?
Yes. Oh my God.
Right.
And they were both with other people at the time. And
it feels like a very intimate thing to be seeing.
Oh yeah, it's embarrassing.
I would hate that.
Yeah. What is it? You can watch it online.
There's just like a video of them falling.
There's like
in
a
love.
Round table chat with
there was a
Kevin
show
Smith.
Kevin Smith had that was like Hollywood chums chatting Hollywood style in like a dinner party setting, and they hadn't met before, or maybe they had.
They were working on the movie together, right?
Right.
Yeah, on Daredevil.
One
they fell in love with on the set of. Yeah, but they're chatting, and she's just like. Her eyes are just moon eyes. Like
She's heart eyes emoji.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And she's just like laughing at everything, saying a lot, and like really picking up on it. Like it is a real flirt. It's a real flirt situation. I'm not very articulate because I'm so.
It's fun to watch.
You're being very articulate.
It's a real
about this.
Flirt thing. You'll see. But it also like it's like. There's not that he wasn't very much in love with her as well, and clearly he likes her too. But it is really
there's
like
an imbalance.
It's sort of display what you see is like the desperation of flirting. Uh-huh. You know when sometimes, and I think everyone's done it as well, but you don't see it depicted in like movies or TV because it's like so
you don't see the other people around in movies.
Yeah, being like a bit like uncomfortable because like no one's talking to them, and also like just like her just like laughing too loudly at everything he says and being like yeah. You know, it's an uncomfortable thing to watch.
I think it's time for a movie about that.
Yeah.
Called The Third Wheel. And it would be my life story.
It could be this century's Muriel's Wedding. You should write it.
Oh my God.
I'd love to see it.
I will say I was amazed that Muriel's Wedding was written by a man.
Yeah, but you know it's all about his sister, whose name in real life is Muriel.
Really?
Oh, I could tell you so much about Muriel's Wedding.
Oh my God.
Maybe it should have been my topic.
It can be.
Okay, let's just talk about
that. We can talk about that and your other topic.
But it'll be so boring for you because you've not even seen it.
Oh, it's okay. No, it's fine. It'll make me want to see it.
Okay.
You can talk about whatever you want.
Okay, great.
We'll talk about both. We should go to that.
Wait, I just want to say one more thing about this urine therapy article. Oh, that author J.D. Salinger is also said to have been an adherent.
Oh, man.
So, I don't
know
if we
how
can...
he died. Urine poisoning.
I think he's still alive.
Is he? I mean, I feel like people say a lot of things about J.D. Salinger, though.
Oh, yeah.
And how many of them can be true about someone who... I mean, I guess if he, like, lives in a cabin and doesn't talk to anyone, he's probably drank his own piss out of sheer boredom.
Yeah.
Did you watch that documentary? Howard Hughes, he drank his own...
Oh, of course he did.
Oh, yeah. Is that in the article?
No.
It actually doesn't mention it.
It's okay. Everyone listening, add Howard Hughes to this article.
Yeah. I just maybe they're like it's too obvious. We don't even need to write it. Like
of course he does. Yeah. What were you going to say?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Nothing.
I just asked if you'd seen that documentary that came out last year. I didn't. I just saw the trailer, but did any of you guys make that documentary? Because
no.
It seemed insufferable.
What documentary?
There's like a new J.D. Salinger documentary that seemed to be like all trailer. I mean, I haven't seen it, so I can't comment.
Okay.
But
it looks terrible.
Yeah, it looks dumb. Anyway, don't worry.
That concludes Wiki of the Week. We'll be right back with Claudio Doherty. We're back with Claudio Doherty.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Let's talk about when you worked at an aquarium.
I worked at an aquarium in 2008 for about 8 weeks.
And it made a big impression.
It did make a big impression. I mean, I was really obsessed with like the ocean. I was very into ocean stuff and like... Yes, I was really into ocean stuff, and I really needed some money to go to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival where I was in a sketch show. And it was also like a very dark time because I had just gone through like a major breakup.
Oh, no.
And I got a job at the ticket counter of the Sydney Aquarium, which I thought would actually be like the greatest job in the world. And from the first day, it seemed like it would be because they were like, now we're going to take you on a tour of the aquarium. I was like, great. So I got to go backstage at the aquarium, which
backstage.
Means, so like, I like, you know, like walking behind like the penguin enclosure and they're like, do you want to feed the sharks? And
yes.
I was like, yes, I do. And then they put me into a metal dinghy Do you say the word dinghy in America?
A boat?
It's just like a little tin boat.
Yeah.
And then gave me a plastic lunchbox full of dry dog food and put me in the dinghy. And then they just pushed it out onto the top of the shark tank.
Oh my God.
And then they just like all swam up to the boat like goldfish, really. And I was just like throwing the food out. Like it was very bizarre. But what was really sort of tragic about this aquarium is that it's not run by like, I don't know, the Ocean Society or people who like a pro ocean. It was run by Hoyts, which is the company that runs like amusement parks and cinemas in Australia.
I was wondering why they were feeding the sharks dog food.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems wrong.
And when I started working there, they were like, big news, we've got dugongs. Do you know what dugongs are? It's like a manatee. I don't know if it's. I think it's slightly different to a manatee, but pretty much exactly the same. You could Google it.
Dugongs.
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 But they look like manatees, and they might just be manatees. But anyway, they're like, we've got manatees, and the great thing, like the selling point of manatees, is that when explorers first saw them, they thought they were mermaids. So like that's how we're gonna promote it. We're gonna get proper great dancer swimmer girls dressed as mermaids to be in the tanks
with them,
with the manatees.
Ew.
And there was a problem because like they hadn't really thought about what temperature of water that manatees like to go in, tropical water, and seals. They would also just put the manatees in with the seals.
Oh my God.
And seals are in like very cold water, but they just put the manatees in there. And then it was like everyone was getting sick, like the seals and the manatees. So they're like, okay, we'll get rid of the seals.
Oh my God.
Don't know where they put the seals, possibly in the bin. They just got rid of the seals. So they cranked up the temperature of the water and put the girls in the water with the manatees. But the manatees had gotten like this weird fungus from being in the wrong temperature of water. And then the girls caught the manatee fungus. So like they had like the scariest, weirdest rashes.
Fungus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
From manatees. And it was, it was a horrible, horrible job. It was
That's a
horrible
fucking
job.
Nightmare.
Yeah, it was really.
And you were selling tickets to that.
It was a very bleak time. It was like winter in Australia and there was no walls on like the foyer area where I sold the ticket. Like I was at the ticket counter. So like it was just like icy winds blasting from the sea because it was like on in a harbour. And just like the most repetitive job in the world. And then on my lunch break, I would just go and look at the fish. And the only music they had was the Harry Potter music. I've said Harry Potter in this podcast. But they had that. Like that.
Why
was on
were they
loop.
Playing the Harry Potter
It just was
song.
Like suitably magical. But it's not very aquatic.
Yeah.
So like, but that music was on a loop.
And it makes you feel cold too. Because it's Definitely. Like all those movies are like wintertime.
Exactly. And there was also a really sad crocodile that's been there since I was a kid. Because that was the aquarium that I would go to since I was a child in Australia. And it's just a really gigantic crocodile wedged into a very, very small enclosure. So it's a really bad aquarium.
That's a horrible.
Check it out.
I went to an aquarium in New Orleans recently, and they revealed that it was like sponsored by Exxon.
Uh-oh.
And so they had
a lot of oil in the water.
They had a display about how oil rigs are good for marine ecosystems.
Just propaganda.
Basically, right. Yeah, where they were crazy. Like, this is what happens when you... They had, like, a fake oil rig and, like, you know, all of the, like, whatever, like, sea creatures that would attach themselves to it. Like, it was a good thing and it was, like...
Oh, my God.
Just, like, an alternate ecosystem.
That's criminal.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
It was pretty fucked.
Have you been to the, what do you call it? I'm so jet lagged. The... Monterey Bay Aquarium.
Yes.
The best aquarium in the world.
I was raised in the Bay Area, so I used to go there on field trips every year.
Yeah.
It's so
it's
good.
The best.
Did you ever go when they had a great white shark?
I don't remember.
Because it's the only aquarium apart from like one in Japan that there's two aquariums in the world that have ever had great white sharks.
Why is that?
Because they're too dangerous.
And they're enormous.
So they've only ever had babies who have been like injured and they've rescued them. Wow. And then they put them in the tank, that giant tank that they have that's full of like tuna. and rays. And the first time they put a great white shark into a tank there, everything else in the tank just sank to the bottom. Because they're like, this is a very bad situation. And then, like, over, like, weeks, they, like, nervously were like, okay, cool, we'll just keep swimming. I saw a documentary about it. I wasn't there when this happened. But it was incredible because you could see how, like, scared all the other fish were. And, like, even though this baby grey white shark was sort of smaller than a big tuna because they're about 2 meters long, which is like 6 feet, I think, or 6 or 7 feet. I'm not sure. They all just, every time they would bring a great baby grey white shark, they just got to a point where they would just start eating everything, and then they'd be like, it's time to move you on. Yeah, they like reach a certain age and they get too brutal.
That's like a much more exciting aquarium.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, it's incredible. Yes, that's all I can say. But that's an incredible aquarium. If you're in America and you can go there, you should.
It is a really good aquarium. Good. We should talk about Muriel's wedding.
Yes.
Before we go to expert hour.
Definitely.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
No, you can spoil it. It's been 20 years.
Yeah. but don't, because you should watch it today.
I don't want to spoil it because I just want everyone to enjoy it properly. But PJ Hogan, who wrote and directed it, his sister, her name is Muriel, and the sort of opening premise of the movie, which I will spoil, which is that, like, she gets money from her dad to go to secretarial college
to become like an Avon lady, like selling makeup on commission. So it's like seed money to buy kits and sell them.
And she takes that money and she uses it to go to a tropical island, to a tropical resort. Like, that's all true. And like running away to Sydney and like moving to Sydney, like running away from her dad, who was like a local politician.
All
true. And then he said that there was one thing that happened in real life that was like it seemed too contrived, so he couldn't put it in the movie, which was like when she was kind of on the run from him, he was in the airport for like his tribunal because her father was arrested for being a shady politician. Mm-hmm. And she was also at the airport just by coincidence, and she was like standing at the top of the escalator and he came up the escalator. And
as she was going down it?
No, she was and she was just standing there and he like came to the top and he was like, Muriel, what are you bloody doing here? But anyway, you just gotta see this movie, guys. It's the best movie.
It's on Netflix.
Is it?
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Oh sweet.
Yeah. I watched it.
I have that.
2 weeks ago. It was great.
Wow.
The mother is the saddest.
The saddest character.
The saddest character in culture.
All of culture.
In global culture.
Is this a movie I can watch while drawing, or do I have to like watch it with my eyeballs focused on it the whole time?
I think you can watch it while drawing.
You could watch it while drawing, but like it's also the funniest.
You might find yourself not getting a lot of drawing done.
Okay.
Just because you're looking at it.
That's
but
cool.
I do think that there's a lot of, like, there's a few things that are like visual, but not really. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you can.
It's pretty dialogue heavy.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I highly recommend it, and I want you to draw things from it and show them to me. That would be great.
Can you show them to me as well?
Yeah. I mean, of course.
I feel really left out.
We should go to Expert Hour. If people want to, find out more about you or follow you on the internet or things,
you can do that. It's just you're gonna have to just check out Twitter, Matt, and just Google my name and go on my name on Twitter is Claudia O'Doherty, which is my name in real life.
That's good.
So that seems that's straightforward.
Yeah.
I have some videos on YouTube that's
do that
same thing.
I also really enjoyed your work in Trainwreck.
Oh, thank you so
You're really
much.
Funny in
thank
Trainwreck.
You.
And on
You're in Trainwreck?
I'm Amy Schumer.
Oh my god. Wow.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Claudia's one of the like
horrible
suburban
women.
Housewives.
Oh, and I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't?
I want to see it so bad.
Oh, what was I going to say? Oh, also in the apology sketch on Inside Amy Schumer, you were really funny.
Amy, thank you so much. Amy's sister Kim wrote that sketch. Isn't that the saddest sketch
it's
in the world?
It's the saddest.
Wait,
yeah.
Is that the one where the women are apologizing for?
Mm-hmm. On the panel?
Yeah.
And then as we were shooting it, like, obviously you notice how much you do say sorry, and we say sorry so much.
I say sorry all the time.
All the time.
Just I say sorry like 15 times a day.
Just to begin a sentence.
That was one of those sketches
I write it
show.
In emails and then I delete it. No.
That was one of those sketches when I was watching it. I didn't even laugh because of how true it was, where I was like, oh my God. But I loved it, and I immediately sent it to like a million people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very Blake, but good and
but
very,
real.
Yeah,
real.
Very
but good
real.
And real. All right, Claudia O'Doherty, everybody.
Yay.
It's time now for
Thank
Expert
you.
Hour.
What does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. We need an expert. We need an expert. We need an
Expert Hour.
Welcome to Expert Hour. So honored and excited about
yeah,
our experts.
A big one.
This is
today.
A major thrill.
Yeah,
I can't believe I got to go on first.
I know.
When this is the expert.
He is an expert on the films of Michael Douglas. Please welcome Michael Douglas.
Wow.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here. And it was a great conversation you were having. And I wanted to chime in a couple times myself. I was sitting in the back sipping
yeah.
on some sparkling water. I appreciate the water.
No, oh, welcome.
Good.
Of course,
feel free
good.
To,
of course, Mr. Douglas.
Feel free to share the thoughts you were having.
Please call me Michael.
Okay, Michael.
You know, Dad calls me Michael. He's my dad. Sometimes he calls me Mike. You know my dad, Kirk Douglas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
right.
You know, kids are doing good. They call me Dad. I call my dad Dad, and my kids, they call me Dad.
It's a pretty common, I think, tradition.
What does Catherine Zeta-Jones call you?
Oh, she calls me honey, sweetheart, love of her life, the trouble just walked in the room. You know, we have some fun names. We have a good time. You know, she loves show tunes, loves to dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you embarrassed her recently so terribly.
It's something that came out because, you know, if you may or may not know, I had a cancer in my throat. And when pressed why, how, where it came from, I believe it came from HPV, which, of course, I got from cunnilingus. And
I remember reading that quote.
Yeah, yeah. That was a shocker.
Yeah. But, you know, you got to get the word out. It's good to spread the word.
But don't you feel like that was kind of discouraging of other people who might want to perform cunnilingus? Like, do we really need people bad-mouthing it?
Well, I mean, bad mouth, good mouth. I'm not going to stop.
Yeah. Well, that's great to know. Well, let's talk about your career because this is an amazing opportunity.
Great. Very excited to dig in and
so,
hear those questions. Let's...
Obviously, your dad is a famous actor. Did you always know it was something you wanted to do to follow in his footsteps?
Well, I was doing a little acting as a kid, did some school plays, but, actually, you know, before I even had my biggest success actor, I was producer, produced a couple of film, produced Academy Award winning film, One Flew the Cuckoo's Nest. Of course, you've seen a big pop.
Really? You produced it?
Produced one Academy Award.
Wow.
And,
wow.
You know, but you know, I was on television shows and acting, you know, but dad always was great, you know, we loved dad and he's a great actor. And so, yeah, of course, you know, he inspired me, you know, to get in to do what I wanted to do.
Is your dad still alive? I can't remember.
Yeah, he's still alive and kicking.
Great.
He's not about 98 years old.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Can I ask something I have wanted to ask you for a long time?
Oh, go ahead.
Why are you always so sexy? Why are you always having so much sex in movies?
Well, it's a fun question.
You've wanted to ask that for a long time.
Like, why have I seen you have
was there
sex
a certain point,
so many times in movies?
Was there a certain point? You know, there's a psychosexual nature that, I don't, maybe it comes down to me when I radiate it on the screen and people, they want to see me do, but there's a period of time where I was getting a lot of offers for sexual, sort of psychosexual HPV type roles and I just wanted to explore that part of my, you know, sexuality and my body and, you know, when you've got it, you got to flaunt it. So was there a certain point in one of the movies you saw where you thought, hey, I wonder, why does he keep making these movies?
Well, yeah, like as a kid, it was just like if I knew you were in a movie, I was like, oh, it's going to be like a bit gross. Because
you,
it'll
you,
be
thought,
like,
you thought gross, you
well,
didn't think titillating?
Like, well, no, because I was a kid, so it was always like a vaguely inappropriate movie, Fatal Attraction,
right.
Basic Instinct.
Right. Classic picture.
Disclosure.
Oh, that's a classic too.
Disclosure is crazy, no offense,
uh-huh.
But great.
There's a bit of virtual reality in there.
Yes.
You know, she's a boss at the workplace. Demi Moore, great love Demi. She's a boss at the workplace. She sort of sexually harasses me. There's a scene where I perform oral sex on her, and then she's harassing me. She vigorously performs oral sex on me, and then comes up and kisses me on the mouth. And I always wondered if my character had HPV.
Maybe that's how you got HPV.
Well, I
right?
wondered maybe I gave it to myself. It wasn't in the script. It wasn't in the script for Disclosure, directed by Barry Levinson. Great guy, Barry, and I had a lot of fun. It wasn't in the script, but I always like to think maybe my character in the film had something to hide, and maybe it was HPV. And so she goes down on him vigorously, then kisses him in the mouth, and he's got HPV, so he's double got something to hide, top and bottom.
Yeah.
Anyway, to answer your question, why was I always so sexual? You know, when you've got it, flaunt it. You gotta explore that side. And I'm still exploring it. And even in my older years, I'm still finding out about what's going on in the body.
I saw your recent movie with Diane Keaton where she's like a singer in Your Neighbors.
Uh-huh.
It's called Sometimes Things Are Going On.
And So It Goes.
That's it.
Yeah. Is it a Nancy Myers movie?
No. It's No,
it wasn't Nancy Myers, but Nancy's great. Diane's great. We had a great time. We have real fun chemistry. It's fun to kind of mix it up, do a little comedy, get some jokes, grab some of those laughs from the audience. You know, they love. It wasn't a big box office hit, but you know, we had a lot of fun making. I think those who saw it had a lot of fun watching.
Yeah. Well, so you're a very experienced actor. You're a veteran of the business. I guess I feel like it would be remiss if I didn't ask you, you know, like, what's one of the biggest lessons you've learned in your career? Like, what advice would you give a young actor starting out?
Well, you know, it helps if you're a young actor, if you have a father or someone like that who's a big superstar and he gets you in, you know, he can help you in lots of ways, you know, lots of people you grow up with. Of course, it doesn't always work. You know, my son, he's an actor, of course, but he's in jail for drug trafficking. He's doing about 10 years. But but speaking of drug trafficking, I had a great time on the set on the movie Traffic.
You were great in Traffic.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Directed by Steven Soderbergh. Of course, I met my lovely wife, Catherine. She loves show tunes, dancing.
and, Chicago.
Oh, yeah, she's great in Chicago. We all love seeing Catherine in Chicago and doing those dances and kicks. She's great. We love her.
What's the secret to a happy marriage?
You know, it's honesty, it's openness. You know, like you said, you've got to explore the parts of yourself you're uncertain of, but you know, you got to do it responsibly and make sure your partner is on board. You know, speaking on board, I think my dad, he was accused. I never asked him about it. He was accused of raping Natalie Wood.
Oh, my God. That's
but,
right.
At least by publications, but he's never mentioned it to me. But you got to just make sure it's calm and cool. So that's not going to work in a marriage. So,
no.
Yeah. You should ask him if he did.
Maybe. He's getting up there in years. You know, he has a stroke. Maybe he won't remember as well. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Might have repressed it.
But Natalie was great, great actress, beautiful actress.
Right. Great.
Have you ever had like a real disastrous experience filming a movie?
Let's see. We were doing. I was doing a picture called Black Rain, and it was real. It was real. We were in Japan, and you know when they call it Black Rain, they weren't lying because there's a lot of rain in the film. And
why is it Black Rain?
Why they call it Black Rain?
Yeah.
It's sort of an expression about the psychosis going on, I think, in the character, but also a comment on the weather.
Sounds like your nail polish color.
Black Prominence.
Black Prominence.
Black Prominence, yeah.
I suppose if I were at me and Ridley Scott, great director, talented, his brother Tony Scott committed suicide jumping off a bridge. If he and I were to do another sequel, I think that maybe we call it Black Prominence. Maybe it's a
That's
comeback
a good
for
idea.
My character.
Yeah.
What was it like working on Wonder Boys? I think that's
great.
My favorite movie that
oh,
you've been
thank
in.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a real
very
personal
underrated.
Triumph. Yes, I agree. I agree. It's a personal triumph. You know, I've got to stretch my wings, play more of a down and out. You know, I was coming off a string of those sort of psychosexual, you know, steamy HPV thrillers. And I got an opportunity to play sort of a washed-up writer, which is fun to stretch my wings. And Curtis Hanson, you know, he was a fantastic director. I hear he's got Alzheimer's or something's wrong with his brain now. He can't really focus. But He's a great guy. Great guy to be on set with. Frances McDormand, of course, she's the wife of Joel and Ethan Coen. I haven't heard anything bad about them. They seem like nice guys.
She's the wife of both of them?
She's the wife of Ethan. I'm sorry, Joel. Of course, it's Joel. But she's the wife of Joel. You know, sometimes you get mixed up. I haven't been in one of their pictures yet.
It's hard to tell them apart.
But love the guys. Love Fran. And Wonder Boy's great picture.
Can
great
I
picture
ask
about writing.
You,
yeah.
How you feel about Richard Gere? Because I feel like he's like your main rival.
Yeah. Right, right. There's sort of a Hollywood tier where I've got maybe at one point I was more A-list, and then at the other point he might have been a little more A-list, and then there became a point where someone moves slightly above us. There might be someone like Harrison Ford apart. Gets offered him and Harrison, great guy. Harrison broke his leg because he drinks too much. But great guy, love him. Harrison maybe, you know, he doesn't want the part. And so they say, well, do we go down the line? We go through, you know, George Clooney or someone else who's got, you know, a little bit of pepper in their hair. Of course, I'm getting a little pepper coming in the years.
You're all pepper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm all pepper now, you know. But
salt.
It was pepper. Now it's turned to salt. But Richard Gere, you know, so they'll move down the line. That, you know, Clooney says no, Harrison Ford says no, and then they come to me or they come to, to Richard Gere. But now a lot of times I get offered parts of a man who's very powerful, which is fun for me. You know, I like playing power. You know, because I experience in life. I know what it's like to feel powerful, but I also know what it's like to feel restrained.
Did you like making The Game?
Oh, yeah.
Of course, David Fincher, great director, visionary, got to work with Sean Penn. You know, he's accused of beating a couple of his wives. And Sean Penn is a great actor, probably one of the best. He's one of the best, you know, so we had a great time. He played my brother. Of course, my actual brother, he had a big drug problem, and he died from overdose. He was also went to jail.
Oh, sorry.
So Sean Penn was great to work with.
Oh, my God.
On a lighter note, I guess.
What do you mean on a lighter note? I think we're having a great chat. We're having a lot of fun.
Yeah,
that's true. I didn't see what's the lights seem bright and perky in here.
Well, you mentioned you haven't been in a Coen Brothers movie yet. Are there any like directors or filmmakers or actors even who you're dying to work with? Like what's your dream project that hasn't happened yet?
Well, you know, that's why I got into producing, because you want to see those dream projects come to life. So you write, produce. I don't do as much writing. Of course, I love to work with Ethan and Joel, and you know, I love Fran. Fran's great. You know, it's hard. Sometimes you're in my age, you just sort of see what comes by. You see what's floating your way, you know?
Do you think you'd ever want to do... Have you ever been in a Wes Anderson movie?
I haven't done it yet, but I remember you're talking about Ralph Fiennes and about, you know, he'll have sex with anyone, and I thought that was that's what happens in the movie that he made with
him. Yeah, that's true.
Oh.
Maybe it was based off him. I don't know Ralph as well, but I know he's a great guy. He was great in Schindler's List. Steven's great. And Steven, he was on the set of Twilight Zone when Vic Morrow got his head cut off by a helicopter. That's Jennifer, Jason Lee's dad. I love Jennifer, great actress.
And, oh, my God.
Steven Spielberg was at the monitor, and he went and turned around and flew out of there, flew to China. Great guy. Love Steven, love his films.
I hadn't heard that story. That's horrifying.
Yeah, but Steven's a great director, and we love his films, and Jennifer Jason Leigh, you know, she's there, and she's got her dad's spirit.
I gotta say, you have, like, a really positive attitude about a lot of, like, really horrible things.
Yeah.
And I kind of wonder, like, how did you manage to sort of just come out and just have such a good outlook on things?
Oh, well, you know, sometimes you get cancer, you know, things happen in life, and you gotta keep going, you gotta stay positive, you know, and... you know, look on the brighter side, because, hey, I'm blessed. Got a great life.
That's
true. Of course, a lot of it is public persona and PR, and a lot of people, they coach me for if I'm going to make a public appearance, tell me how to appear.
That's like, interesting.
Things don't bother me.
Did people coach you before this podcast?
Oh, yeah, of course. I don't need coaching as much anymore, because I've been doing it for years. I'm a veteran. But, yeah, I've been coached. I've been coached before. You know, they say make sure you keep it light, keep it fun, keep it positive. So that's what I like to do. I like to show up and I like to keep it light and positive. Of course, I get in the movie where I get a part to sink my teeth into and can sometimes get a little darker and have a little fun. You know,
are you
I love
still
having
friends
fun.
With Kathleen Turner?
Kathleen's great. Kathleen's great. Love Kathleen.
War of the Roses was good.
You know, yeah. War of the Roses is great. You know, we didn't have so much sexual tension in that because we were playing a couple at odds. But we had a lot of great chemistry in Jewel of the Nile, Romancing the Stone. We were working with my good friend Danny DeVito. Of course, we were college buddies. of course, Danny and his wife got a divorce and they got back together. Great story. Happy ending. I love Danny. I love Kathleen. She's got a much deeper voice now, and Broadway star, just like Catherine, my wife. Can't get them mixed up. Gotta be careful around
the
house.
Gotta be careful.
Get them mixed
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
I want to know a little bit more about. I mean, you've traveled the world for your art. Do you have a favorite place you've ever filmed?
Oh, you know, there's no place like home, but like I mentioned, Jewel of the Nile. The Nile was great. Romancing the Stone was great.
It's fun that you're so positive, but I feel like you have the same sort of neutral attitude about everything. Like you describe everything as
great. Is
that
how I come off?
Well, it's just sort of use the word great a lot, yeah. And it's kind of all at the same level.
Yeah,
well, it's interesting.
I'm glad, you know, it is interesting. You know, I'm glad there's a lot of things that are interesting. It's good to be an interesting guy. So I take as a compliment that I'm interesting because you got to keep it interesting in movies. The audience loves the movies. I love making movies. I love having fun with my wife and my kid.
Your kid's name?
Oh, my beautiful baby. I love my baby, 10 years old. 15 years old, had a bar mitzvah 2 years ago.
Oh, great.
Good answer.
Yeah.
We're running out of time.
But this has been so much
it's
fun.
It's been really fun. I want to ask you about Behind the Candelabra.
Of course, you know, got to experiment with sort of psychosexual thriller on a sort of another scale. Instead of with a woman, I got to do it with Matt Damon. Matt was great, you know, happy guys. You talked about his happy in his marriage. We had a kissing scene. They only made us do it once. We had a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, because you kept making jokes every time you got an award. Like, you kept making
yep,
gay,
I would
gay
go
jokes.
On there and say I would make sure that everyone knew that,
is that true?
I wasn't gay. Of course, I love gay. I love Liberace. I love his music, you know. Loved Scott, to who Matt's character was based off of. Love Steven. He directed the picture. And it was great to win an award. It's always great to be rewarded for your work.
It's cool that you love gay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And winning awards. I think that's really brave.
It makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Well, we are out of time. People want to, I mean, they know where to find you, but I'll just... Final
You'll
question.
Find me online, you know, I got onto, there's a michaeldouglas.com. Early in the internet, you know, you could, I record a little thing. Of course, my people, they told me it didn't quite work, you know, or did take it down. But I remember recording a thing on my website in the early days of the internet, you know, where I let people know this was my website. You can click on here, surf around, and have a great time. And so you can still do that. Even though there's no audio that says it, you can still click on michaeldouglas.com, surf around, and it's a lot of fun.
That's great. Thank you so much for joining us. What's next for you? Do you have any projects coming up that you
work on acting, work on producing, you know, always a lot of fun. Catherine's doing great.
It's time now for What Did I Learn?
Dad's happy too. Dad's having a good time.
What did I learn?
Lisa, what did you learn today?
Don't put the manatees in the cold water, and don't put seals in the hot water.
Yeah,
and don't put the girls in with the manatees when they've got fungus.
Those are really good lessons that I find very applicable.
You'll use that. You will use
I
that.
I think I will.
Guarantee that.
Claudia, what did you learn today?
Well, I learned that Michael Douglas loves psychosexual roles, but mm-hmm. I kind of already knew that, but I know that he really enjoys them, so that's good.
Yeah.
It's not just like luck of the draw of his career.
I learned Do what that you love. He used to go out with a urine guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, many years.
I'm sorry, I just came back. I had a quick question about the urine guy. So does he know you're talking about him on here?
I don't know if he does, but I feel like he probably does.
And you think he's happy about it, or he don't mind? He's probably
I didn't mention his name.
No.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm sure there's probably a lot of people, maybe friends, family, listen to it that knows you. This is a guy you went out with how many years? 3 years?
Yeah. I mean, everyone who knows me will figure out who it is, but I think they also already probably knew he drank urine.
Oh, right. He seems like
a
guy who
He wasn't shy about it. He wasn't like, I have this deep, dark secret that I have to tell you. I drank my pee one time and I deeply regret it. He was like, hey.
He was pretty open.
You should do this.
You should do this. Can I watch you pee it into a cup and I'll drink it? Did he want to drink your...
No, he wanted me to drink my own pee.
Right.
Did he want to masturbate while you did it?
No.
Sounds like
no.
It wasn't a sex thing.
No, it was not a sex thing.
It was a health thing.
It's a dietary thing.
And you know what? I think he just wanted me to show him that I was an open-minded person.
Free spirit. Right.
Yeah, which I'm not.
I got to say real quick, I know I got to get out of here, but, you know, I drink urine as a sexual sort of experimentation. And also, but then I drink it again as advice from a dietitian that Catherine knows from, Beverly Hills. He's a great guy. He's a guru. He tells you all about health.
How was it?
Well, it tastes like urine.
Cool. I would expect. Michael, what did you learn today?
I learned that it's great to get out there and talk. It's great to be positive, as you pointed out, and positivity is always a good thing, looking up, and so it's always good. Staying positive. Of course, I knew it, but, you know, it's reinforced.
Good.
That's really good.
Sure. Emily, what did you learn today?
I learned that there are no health benefits to drinking your own urine, but they can be used to treat your baseball calluses. And that's
many.
It's a thing I did not know, and it's a thing I will never forget. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of Baby Geniuses 98. I think this is episode 98.
Oh, man.
As old as my dad.
Yeah, your
perfect.
Dad.
Getting up there.
Yeah. It's a perfect... coincidence.
Should we thank people for butt pics?
We should thank people for butt pics. People have been sending us magnificent pictures of their butts.
First, Amanda, who we mentioned before. I love your floral underwear.
Yeah. Alejandra had
very patriotic
butt.
Yeah, with a teddy bear in the background.
Are these somewhere I can see these butts online?
No,
or are these just your own private butt collection?
It's just a private stash.
They're private.
Okay, yeah. Just checking.
Valerie did a cool long exposure thing with a camera. Ooh, where she waved a flash around, and there she said she had a good old time one evening alone taking lots of odd pictures of herself. So yeah. It was a win.
And then Kylie just wrote hi on her butt.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated that as well.
Yeah. I like her mustard-colored panties.
So
you all have great butts.
You guys have great butts. Keep them coming.
Yeah. We appreciate all your emails. I'm sorry we don't have time to respond to all of them right away, but we read them all and love them.
Yes, we do.
They make us smile.
They make us smile quite a bit. And thanks to everyone who has been rating and subscribing on iTunes, please keep doing that.
Yeah, we'll shout out your name if you give us 5 stars.
Yeah, and if you give us 4 stars, how did we fail you? I'm so hurt. And any lower than that, get out of here.
You can buy an advertisement on our podcast at the Max Fun Jumbotron.
Yes, you can. MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron.
We'll read out your wedding announcement or birthday card or whatever.
Yeah. Or maybe you're just having a good week and you want to brag about it.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
Thank you to Travis McElroy, our producer.
Thanks to Nate Heller, our composer. You can follow us on Twitter.
I'm at Lisa Draws.
I'm at Mr. Emily Heller. Buy my album if it's out by now.
Oh, hell yeah.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Yay.
Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.